The very first mitzvah in the Torah that the Yidden are given in Mitzrayim, Moshe tells us, "Hachodesh hazeh lochem, this month for you, Rosh Chodesh." So, we were learning Rashi at the beginning of the Torah. The very first Rashi says, "Omer Rabbi Yitzchak." The Torah shouldn't have begun with Bereishis. The Torah should have begun Hachodesh Hazeh Lachem Shu Mitzvah Rishonah Shenitzdavu Bo Yisro. The Torah should have begun with the first mitzvah that the Yidden were commanded with. Why do we need to know Ma Tam Posach BeBereishis? What's the reason that the Torah begins with Bereishis? Because it's not just a reason that we're looking for, but it's a taste. The book of Genesis, amazing, amazing story. But the whole Torah then, you know, my children say to me, Ta, you know, why does it have to, we get to the book of Leviticus, we get to Vayikra, and how, you know, the taste of the Torah changes, you know. Where's the narrative? We want to get back to, I say to them, yeah, well, you'll have to wait till the book of Numbers, till we get to Bamidbar. There's some juicy stories, right? But the taste of the Torah now is the taste of Bereishis. So, I want to say what Reb Yitzchak's question is. What do I need to know what the past is about? What does it help me? I mean, Reb Yitzchak, who's asking the Torah should have begun with Hachodesh Hazeh Lachem, he's not just asking philosophically, you know. He's saying, the gestalt of a Yid, my father, you know, he's got his story, my mother has her story, my Zayda and Bubba have their stories, but does it matter? Does it really matter that they went through concentration camps? And what's a chilek? We get up in the morning, you put on tefillin. Does it matter if your father has a number on his arm or not? Doesn't matter. So, Reb Yitzchak is really asking an important question as a Yid. Is it really at all important for me to be stuck in the past somewhere, or even to be stuck in the future somewhere? It's interesting. There's a medrash in Shir HaShirim. It's similar to this Reb Yitzchak. It's Rabbi Yanai Omer. The Torah only should really be taught from Hachodesh Hazeh. Lahois Hatorah Tzricha Lihidoresh Elam Hachodesh Hazeh Lachem. From this month, is the first month. Umipnei Ma Gila Kodesh Baruch Hu Yisro Ma B'yom Rishon Ma B'yom Sheni Ad Yom Shishi. So Rabbi Yana has got another teaching. He says, why did God reveal to us what happened on day one, what happened on day two, all the way till day six? So Rabbi Yana has got a deeper drash. He says, "Bizchus she'amru," in the merit that the Yidden said, "Koila she'dibah Hashem nase v'nishma," in the merit that we said everything that God says we will do, and we will listen. Miad gilo lahem, immediately God revealed to them. It's interesting, Rabbi Yana sees a connection between the revelation of the book of Genesis and the Yidden making this amazing declaration of Nase v'nishma, we will do, we will obey. You see, the King James Version, all the Goyisha versions, they all translate Nase v'nishma as we will do, we will obey. Nishma being obey, right? But you know, we Yidden, our most important sentence is Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, can't really be translated as obedience, right? Na'aseh v'nishma, we will do, we will obey. Then what does Shema Yisrael mean? Because if you're a Yid, then yeah, I'll listen, right? To us, a big madrega if you listen, right? Because most of us, like, I'm not even going to listen. While you're speaking, I'm already thinking of what I'm going to say. The only reason I allow you to speak is because it gives me time to think of what I want to reply and respond, right? For us, already grace and madrega, obedience. Who's talking? Obedience. Obedience you want? No, I'll listen. Right? Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, because for us, it's a great, so for us, when we talk about Na'aseh v'Nishma, we will do and we will listen. For us, it's like a grace of Madrega, it's a very high thing to be in a state of listening, right? To be listening. It's much easier for us to not be listening. Anyway, so Rabbi Yannai says that in the merit of the Yidden, the Jewish people saying, we will do, we will listen, God immediately tells us the story of Genesis. That's a very interesting connection that Rabbi Yitzchak's not making. He's saying that there's a direct link between our taking upon ourselves this amapaziza thing, this jumping in to the deep end without looking, with trusting and saying to God, it doesn't matter what it is you've got in store for us, we're right there. And God saying, in that case, I'm going to tell you how I made the world. So, it would be nice to know what's the kavanah of Rabbi Yannai. What is the midah b'midah? You know, we have a rule in the Torah that the reward or the punishment is always midah b'midah, measure for measure. What is the measure for measure? Our jumping in to accepting the Torah and God revealing to us the history of the world. So I want to say, and I want to acknowledge Julian here, because without Julian learning this with me, I would never have made this connection. What is the first mitzvah? HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem. So what's it about? It's about time. It's about time. The first mitzvah in the Torah is about now. HaChodesh Hazeh. Doesn't tell us, you know, 6 months from now, there's going to be a Chodesh. No. God says HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem. Hazeh. God shows Moshe Rabbeinu the image of the moon. Right now, Monday afternoon, this is it. You see it. Now begins the month of Nisan. So the Yidden understood that really what the Torah is about is now. It's about the present moment. What does God want from me this minute? He wants me to be here now. Right? Olam nefesh and shona in the moment, right? My whole soul has to be right here in space and time in the moment. Not to have like 1 foot in the past, not to have 1 foot in the future. My religion, that's what the Eden understood from the way that Moshe Rabbeinu phrases HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem and the mitzvah itself. The very first thing God is asking of us, right? He didn't come like, you know, with Avraham Avinu, God says to him, you know, I want you to walk in front of me and be whole, and gives him the mitzvah of Mila, right? Walk before me and be whole. I mean, that's a very kind of heavy sentence, right? HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodesh, and this month is the head month, you know, I mean, like, this is a very prosaic commandment, right? So the Eden, we learned from this very deep lesson. We understood that everything has changed, you know. We lived in Egypt, and in Egypt, people were fascinated by trying to stop, you know, aging, you know, stop time, and, you know, the death, the whole idea of life after death, the netherworld, and how you can, the whole culture of Egypt was, you know, not focused in now, right? And here the Eden understand God is telling us, you want to worship me. And it's interesting, the Gemara in Shabbos says, Rebbe Loza says, the moment that the Eden said, Na'aseh v'Nishma, the moment that we said, will do, we will listen. A voice comes out from heaven and says, Mi gilo lebonai roze, who revealed to my children the secret? Shemalach ha'shtoris mishtam shimboi, that the ministering angels use this kind of language. This, you know, I mean, it's easy to understand why an angel would use this language, because an angel is there to serve as a messenger and has no other meaning. An angel doesn't have a name unless it has a purpose. As soon as it's given a tafkid, as soon as God says, okay, this is the shlichus, this is the message I have for you, then the angel has a name for so long as the shlichus lasts, right? Because the angel lives in the moment. So I wanted to say, the secret is this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ponim and the pnim of everything in the world. The word ponim is interesting, right? Because ponim, pnim, right? Ponim means like the face, which we understand as being the outside. Pnim is the inside. When we talk about lefnai v'lefnim, the Kohen Godol goes into lefnai v'lefnim, to the inside of the inside. What does it mean? God is the ponim. So Rabbi Yanai, when he says his drash, why did God reveal and so forth, he says, what does he say that? He says it on the posuk, Heviani Hamelech Chadorov. The posuk in Shir HaShirim, the God, the king brought me to his chambers. So Rabbi Yanai says, this drash of God revealed to us what happened back in time. On this verse of God brings me to his chambers, because these are the chambers, so to speak, of God. Because God is inside time. You see, really, the truth is, time is just another one of the illusions of which the universe is assembled, right? It's true that ever since Hubble, you know, we have a picture of the universe, a very dynamic picture of the universe expanding, you know, and the further away you are from here, the faster the world is expanding, and almost to the speed of light at the edges of our known universe and knowable universe and so forth. We have this image of space and time that are connected in a relativistic way, but you know, this is, it's pure fantasy, it's illusion. Because it's all happening in the mind of God, right? If it's happening in the mind of God, then it's just, what is it? It's good, it's chunisht. It's, we experience it this way, that we're expanding at the speed of light in the galaxy, inside the universe and so forth, but where is it really happening? It's an infinitesimally small place. It doesn't even exist. It's a thought. We're all happening in the mind of God, and we're not really happening in time, because just as it's clear that we're happening in the mind of God, it's also true to say that everything that exists in this universe, whether it's time or space or matter, God is the inside of it, because it's just a God thought. Everything is a God thought. We're just thoughts. So therefore, everything that we're experiencing in our universe, really, we're experiencing God. So if we can get past our own image of what's happening in the universe and allow ourselves to be open to the pnim, to the inside of our universe, then we really can get at the ponim, then we can see the face of God. So the pnim, the deeper we get to the inside of everything, the more we reveal of the outside, the face of God. And this is especially true. This is especially true when it comes to time. It's interesting, Rebbe Lemelech says in Parsha Shoftim v'lo yisakir ponim, it talks about judges. One of the things that the judge, Torah warns, lo yisakir ponim, don't recognize faces. Right? V'lo yisikach shoychad, and don't take bribes. What does it mean, don't recognize faces? So Rebbe Lemelech says, Lo yelo cholehim acherim al ponai. The Torah tells us, don't have other gods al ponai. You see, the English translation is usually in my presence, don't have other gods with me. But al ponai, what does it mean al ponai? So Rebbe Lemelech says that when I do something to conceal the face of God, right? When I do something that makes it that I myself no longer recognize that God is inside this thing, whether it's in me or in this moment or in this object or place, if I do something, maybe because of the way I'm thinking or the way I'm looking at something, if I look at someone and I deliberately fail to see the beauty, the holiness, the sweetness, the divine inside that person, right? Then it's Elohim Acherim al Ponai, right? I'm making other gods on God's face. I'm covering the face of God. I'm being merachik. I'm expelling the face of God. So then what am I doing? I'm putting Elohim Acherim in that place. So when the Torah tells us in the second commandment, Lo yilech Elohim Acherim al Ponai, on my face, it's because there are things that we do that sometimes can make another face. And Rebbe Lemelech also talks about, it says, Lo yilech el zar in Tehillim, you just don't have fremde, you know, foreign gods. And Rebbe Lemelech talks about the Yitzhara, the evil inclination can be called the fremde, the foreign, the strange god. Because everything that's misnagged to the panemius, everything that obscures the inner, the holy, the divine, right, is covering the ponim. And God wants to be revealed. So when I go into the panemius, when I go into the depth of the thing, then I'm really revealing the outside, the face. So when the Kohen Godol goes into the Holy of the Holies, that's called going lifnai v'lifnim, because he's going deeper and deeper into that place where more and more of the face of God is revealed. So it's called lifnai v'lifnim, the inside and the face. So the word ponim has these two meanings, of the outside and the inside. So we need to be aware of what we're doing when we're doing it, right? And it's the same thing with time. When we think of time, you know, when we experience time, the truth is, if we really get into time and we start to, you know, thinking about the past and the future and how it's affecting us, and we get caught in the past, whether it's really having, you know, a resentment, right? That's a great way of getting stuck in the past, is to be hanging on to resentment, or a way of being stuck in the future is when I'm living in fear. And I, you know, what am I afraid of? I'm afraid of the future, right? So if I'm either living in a resentment or living in fear, I'm not living in the moment. But what I'm really doing when I do that is I'm obscuring the face of God, because the face of God is the now, the moment. Because I'm not going to find God anywhere else but in now, in this mamash, in this moment. Because there is only the moment. Because the past and the future are illusory. Because in the mind of God, everything is happening now. There is only now. So now, we can understand what happened the moment we said, Koila shedibar Hashem na'ase v'nishma. Everything that God says, we will do, we will listen in the moment. And we were ready to let go of that culture of being stuck in the past, or being, you know, spending your whole life working for some, you know, afterlife that you're never going to see. As soon as we got into that space, so God says, Migilo raz zu lebonai, who revealed this mystery to my children? This is a secret, Shem Malach HaShoris Mishtam Shemboi, that the ministering angels use this kind of thinking, because they live in the moment, and so they live in this kind of syntax, in the now, Everything is in the now. Who told the Eden that this is really what I want? So, if you really understand that there is only the moment, then what does it mean, Olam Hazeh and Olam Habo, right? This world and the world to come. Once you're living in this true moment, then you realize it's they're just flip sides of the same thing. And so when you're in Shabbos, right? On Shabbos we say, Me'ein Olam Habo. The Gemara says, Yofo Sho'achas Shel Koiras Ruach Bo'olam Habo. 1 hour of pleasure in Olam Habo is worth more than the whole Chai Olam Hazeh. So Rebbe Elimelech says, what does it mean? He says, when you are giving pleasure to God, then you're in Olam Habo. When you are taking pleasure yourself, you're in Olam Hazeh. 1 hour giving pleasure to God is worth a whole lifetime of pleasure in Olam Hazeh. So Olam Habo and Olam Hazeh are happening at the same time. The question is, what's your focus? Who you're focused on, right? When you're focused on yourself, you're in Olam Hazeh. When you're focused on God, you're in Olam Habo. And that's why Shabbos itself, we say Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Habo. Because there's pleasure and pleasure. Depending on what your pleasure is, you're either in this world or you're not in this world, right? So when you're focused on something that is outside of yourself, you're Olam Olam Hazeh, this world. When you're focused on something that is inside yourself, that is focusing on Olam Habo. And even though you might think that it's impossible to be in Olam Hazeh and Olam Habo at the same time, it's not so. Because they're not contradictory. Because as soon as the Yidden said, Kol ha'shedibar Hashem na'aseh v'nishma, everything that God said, we will do and we will listen, God immediately says, I'll show you what the reward for that is. And he gives us the history. He gives us Ma'aseh Bereishis. Because it was Midah b'Midah, right? We were ready to let go of time in order to be available to God, right? We were ready to let go of Olam Hazeh in order to be in Olam Habo. God says, if that's the case, I'm going to give you all of Olam Hazeh. I'm going to give you the history and I'm going to give you the future. Because they're all connected and they're all intertwined and they're just facets of the same place and the same time. And that's what the Torah begins with before we can get to Pesach, before we can get to the Seder, before we can get to bring the Paschal sacrifice, before we can come out of Egypt. We have to get away from the Egyptian way of thinking, which is, it's difficult for us in this day and age to imagine what it was like to be an Egyptian, but the fear, I mean, all I can think of is the fear of the future, that if I don't have everything, all my skittles lined up in the right row, in the right order, I'm not going to have an afterlife worth living, right? And so people spent their entire life and their children's lives and their grandchildren's lives mortgaged to some future afterlife that was going to happen that never happened. And God says to us, get away from this. HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem, be here now. If you can learn to be here now, you can experience freedom. I bless you and me. We should be able to experience the freedom of terror, from terror of the future, and freedom from, you know, resentments of the past, that we should, you know, really experience freedom to live in the moment, to be here now, and then should be able to have a beautiful yontif and be able to sit there at the Seder with your children, with your parents, with your brothers and sisters, with your spouse, with all the people that you love, to be in that moment, and that moment should last forever and ever. And Metz Shem, we should meet together in Yerushalayim to eat Korban Pesach. Amen.